my god, you posted that? Delete it. I feel so attacked right now.
Don't at me like that.
Hello and welcome to the second episode of Don't At Me. I'm your host, Michaela Copeland, and I'm ready to spill my guts, spill the beans, and spill the tea about social media with you here today. Special thanks to Swinburne University, as this will also be airing on Swin Radio every Tuesday. Well, it has been a huge week. Here's a quick update. We're currently live on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. To be on these platforms is honestly so mind-blowing to me, so I'm over the moon. Also, we have a Facebook and an Instagram. If you look up Don't At Me Podcast, and the at is actual words, A-T, on both, you'll be able to like, slash follow, slash stalk, slash judge, all that jazz. And all the memes you find on there are original, I should add. I am becoming a May-May master, I know. Now the shameless self-promo is over, let's get into the episode. Influencers. A word that meant nothing 10 years ago. But now, it's everywhere. It's what we all secretly aspire to be. But what is this elitist dream job? Today, we're going to be exploring what classifies you as an influencer, why they are hashtag blessed, but also what leads to them getting hashtag cancelled. Plus, I did a little experiment of trying influencer marketing with $0 in my bank account. Did it work? Am I in the hall of fame of promoted products next to Fit Tummy Tea? You'll have to wait to find out. Some feedback I got from last episode is that I packed too much information for your brainy brains to process. So I'm going to split up influencers. I'm going to split up this vital info into two episodes. If all goes well, next episode we're going to go into detail of how you become an influencer on every popular platform. And I actually used to be an influencer on Tumblr, believe it or not, but that's a story for next time. Now, I tried explaining my segment to my mum yesterday and she posed a valid question. What is an influencer? I rolled my eyes and then I went, oh my god, I don't actually know how to verbalize it. Luckily, the internet exists. InfluencerMarketingHub.com defines an influencer as an individual who has the power to affect purchase decisions of others because of their influence, authority, knowledge, position, or relationship with their audience. And I agree with that definition. But to put it in context, we relish in the concept of word of mouth. In a saturated market of goods and commodities, we're more likely to believe the opinion of someone we love and care about rather than the actual brand boasting about its own product. It's like when you're going out and your mum says you look nice and you're like, Mum, you have to say that. You made me. And that's how we feel about brands. So bringing in a second trusted and relatable party to recommend your product is very powerful. Influencer marketing is the way forward as there are niches for everything, but they're often grouped into the stereotype of like a tan girl just flogging off some cheap online fashion brands. But we're here to break that superficial misconception today. There are many rainbows and dark skies in an influencer's lifestyle. So let's start with the positive and work our way down to the negative. In my opinion, influencers are hashtag blessed because popularity brings you many opportunities. It first starts as like the little things, like receiving products for free. Here's a random vitamin pack for free in order for you to promote us on Instagram. Seems like a no-brainer trade, right? And then it turns into being offered brand deals with like real money behind it. Soon you're on every PR list having free holidays and are living the life. Most importantly, if you have a specific talent like comedy, art, makeup, then that is being recognized and appreciated. If you look at Superwoman, in which I saw live in 2015, her comedy YouTube channel led her to now making her own TV show. Being an influencer opens up a lot of doors. Plus, it gives you a support network. You've got tens, hundreds, thousands of people who are sending you their love, wishing nothing but the best for you. That is an overwhelming sort of love. People make shrines of you via subreddits, fan art, Facebook groups, you name it. They lose their absolute mind when you collaborate with other influencers and welcome in new fans. When you step back and think about it, it is truly remarkable how it is possible to create a community in which you are the ruler. Your village feeds off your posts as a necessity. their equivalent to $1 million is a shout out from you. And for entertainment, they gamble on the brands that you recommend. The Queen of England herself is less of an influencer on Generation Z than some of the people who rule on Instagram. And I think that is about communication. Most of us Gen Zs don't know anything about the Queen apart from that she has a couple of corgis. Now, if she was updating her Insta every day with her queen-like duties, then maybe I would feel close to her. But she doesn't, and the problem is our generation likes being in the loop and having a close relationship with authority figures. We want to see behind the scenes of a presidential rally. We want to see memes from the police on Facebook. We want to be able to relate to these people that essentially boss us around. However, older generations I've found, they just accept that they will never be in proximity or hold this power, just because that's the way it's always been. The mystery is the power. Therefore, they have more respect for the Queen than, like, who's a wholesome influencer? One with, like, no scandals? Yes, I'm thinking of Jenna Marbles. Speaking of Jenna Marbles, though, I actually did a social media campaign at uni last year, and she was the influencer I used. Granted, the campaign was to promote the sport dog surfing. Yes, it's a real thing. Look it up. Guaranteed to make your day. I detailed how she was going to make her dog like life jackets and how she would vlog the dog surfing competition. And my friend, the serial swiper from last episode, if you remember, she even drew mock-ups of the dog's outfits. It was wild. And while I was doing it, I got 38 out of 40 for it, by the way, a high distinction, not to brag. But I asked myself, how has Jenna Marbles survived as an influencer in this world? It's very cutthroat. There's new norms, triggers, and content to be wary of every day. Her and Ryan Higa have somehow survived on YouTube for like 10 years with fresh yet on-brand content, and it's seriously impressive. So apart from a great support network, building a community, and having power, you can also make a full-time job of it. USA Today found through interviews with nearly a dozen influencers, marketing professionals, and influencer platform founders, as an industry rule of thumb, there is a baseline rate of about $100 for every 10,000 followers. That means an influencer with $1 million could charge $10,000 for one post. Do one of those per month and you're laughing. That's 120 grand annually, disregarding any other promotions, free products, or travel. That's insane. Recently, Jenna Marbles bought a $3 million house in LA off her influencer salary. She also did a house tour and prefaced that this wasn't to brag about her earnings, only to celebrate how far she has come and what is possible as a YouTuber. I thought it was a humble way to approach a milestone in her life. But we all can't be wholesome influencers like Jenna Marbles. There has to be some influencers who get on hot water. And boy, do they love a good scandal. Scandals are definitely on the negative side of being an influencer. And I like to split influencer scandals into two categories: drama-filled and borderline illegal. You'll be amazed how some people survive these scandals and how easily the internet forgets. But I don't, so buckle up. Firstly, the drama-filled scandals, aka the beauty community. The rise of drama channels, or drama detectives as I call them, was because of the hot mess that is beauty YouTubers. James Charles. Yes, okay, I said it, forgive me. That boy's name is a synonym for scandal at this point. I'm not even going to give you an in-depth description of what happened because it's so twisted and overanalyzed and everyone's already done it. Just know that this man was cancelled, right? Not just cancelled, hashtag cancelled. He lost 2.6 million subscribers in 3 days. That's massive. Over allegations of betrayal from another popular YouTuber, Tati Westbrook, for supposedly selling out and devaluing their friendship. And then the drama intensified with like allegations of him harassing straight boys. But the main gist of it is that one highly regarded beauty YouTuber absolutely destroyed his reputation, and before we could hear his side, the subscribers were dropping like flies. But that's one type of drama-filled scandal, when someone else ruins your reputation. But some of them ruin their reputation themselves, like Jeffree Star. Personally, I'm a fan, but many weren't when racist tweets and videos popped up from his pre-stardom days, specifically when he was 19. So circa 2007. These tweets were enough for his own friends in the beauty community to disown him. So how did these influencers bounce back? James Charles has recovered his subscriber count, but some fans are still on the fence. He put out an ill-performed apology video in which, you know what? I'm going to go there. The starter pack for apology videos is no makeup, a bare background, horrible lighting. They start with like, I just woke up. They're unedited and they have some stupid title like, My Truth. And he did the cliche and no one brought it. But once he provided screenshots refuting allegation, clarified his situation, apologized, and acknowledged that he's still young and learning, he did regain many of his fans. Jeffrey, on the other hand, he did something never seen before. He teamed up with everyone's favourite, Shane Dawson, and he did a 3-part mini doco on his life. The luxuries, the mistakes, the aspirations, and not only did he recover, but he gained a whole new fan base. And I was one of them. And his makeup line is absolutely booming. I really recommend his lipsticks, by the way. Hashtag not sponsored. So those scandals are light, but what about the borderline illegal? Logan Paul. Ah, what a triggering name. This guy was first famous on Vine, and I'm ashamed to say it, but I actually had respect for him then. Like the good old days when Vine made everything better. But alas, he cancelled himself on the internet and in Japan when he videoed and mocked the hanging corpses in a Japan suicide forest. The fact you'd go in there in the first place is beyond me, but he decided not only to go in there but like laugh and make fun of these poor people who took their life. And the YouTuber community were like livid. Drama channels lost their mind over the amount of scorn that they just bestowed on him. Japanese authorities were scrutinizing the rest of the Japanese vlog, saying that the public indecency, harassment, and running red lights were enough to arrest him. YouTube dropped his YouTube Red series and subscribers were like, bye. However, yes, you guessed it. Once again, after an apology video, he is still alive and kicking. He made an empathetic video about suicide and donated $1 million to a suicide charity. And look, I'm not his target audience, so I don't understand how he survived, but apparently he knows the secret. As he said in an interview to The Hollywood Reporter, good luck trying to cancel me. It's so easy for anyone to be like, Logan Paul just ended his career, he's done, but the only person who will ever decide whether that's true is me. And evidently, as much as it pains me, he was right. His career is at its peak and it's not slowing down. In his case, we saw the consequences and the internet has obviously forgotten. But a more fresh one happening this month is Brooke Holtz and her dog abuse allegations. Brooke accidentally uploaded the unedited video of training her dog, in which included shoving him and apparently spitting on him and just not being very nice to the poor dog. How you accidentally expose yourself like that is completely beyond me. Like, it's so laughable. Anyway, PETA expressed their concern and the LAPD launched an investigation. However, it was found that her dog was not in any immediate danger. Even Logan Paul condemned her actions. Logan Paul, yes, if Logan Paul says, hey, that's messed up, then you're in trouble. But credit to her, she didn't make an apology video. She just put out a statement on Twitter. It was very defensive, saying that's how she trains him and she loves her animals. She hasn't per se recovered as of yet. People take abusing animals pretty seriously, as it should be, so it will be interesting to see how she handles her comeback to social media. Apart from scandals, influencers can also cause controversy with their promotions. The way the Paul brothers promote their merch to underage fans is questionable, sliding the subtle purchasing messaging into their diss tracks. An article on The Intelligencer detailed how journalist Chris Stokel-Walker did an analysis by watching 50 videos uploaded to YouTube by Jake and Logan Paul in February to March. More than 6 hours of footage in all. In the 50 videos he watched, the brothers called on their viewers to buy their products 195 times. That subconscious purchasing behavior on young impressionable minds is a questionable marketing technique, in my opinion. Other questionable marketing techniques include promoting something you haven't even researched. With the flood of influencers lately, brands are reaching out like wildfire to score an ambassador. But some of these brands aren't legit. YouTuber Josh Peters sent out to prove this by doing his own experiment. Besties with the OG YouTuber Casper Lee, this guy has seen firsthand the rise of influencers and has had many contacts because of it. When speaking to Insider, Jack stated that obviously with me being technically an influencer myself, we do often get sent really arbitrary things, and I just started to wonder, is there anything you could send an influencer that they actually wouldn't post about? So he sent 40 YouTuber influencers a piece of gravel. Wait, no, there's more than that. Oh yeah, he convinced them it was a piece of the moon. With official NASA branding, he handwrote a letter claiming to be the space station, celebrating their 50th moon landing anniversary. And then he sent it off to the likes of Jack Maynard, Louise Thompson, and Ollie White, and many more. And you know what? They were gullible and believed it. Even those who still didn't believe it or were skeptical, they still publicized it. That is until NASA stepped in themselves and just shed light that that was not in fact the moon and the ruse was up. But it still highlights that influencers have a duty of care to research what they are being sent to promote, as they do have, what's it called? Oh yeah, influence. Now, what you've all been waiting for, the experiment. I'll come clean now. I don't have a personal Instagram. It's probably because I sort of missed that Instagram boom, like when I was in, I guess, maybe year 9, year 10, when everyone was getting it, I was like, nah, I don't need it. So I only have an Instagram for my animal photography. I know, boring, but it's a very calming hobby. So my feed is full of African safaris and dog pics. But I thought, you know what, I need to get into influencer marketing for this podcast. So off I went into my following tab and the hashtags Melbourne Influencer, Aussie Influencer, and Small Influencer. I think it's really important to promote the local and small talent, as that's what I am, and we all started out somewhere, so I really want to help a couple out and just see where it goes. So I sent out a message to 30 influencers in my target demographic via their business emails. The emails detailed a personal message at the start, and then I went on to explain the podcast and how I'd love to mention their amazing hard work on it. And lo and behold, I got some traction. Specifically, I got 11 responses. I noted that I'd love a shout out of the podcast after the episode is live, but it wasn't necessary. I think it's really important, if you're going to message people, don't ask them for something in return all the time. Honestly, if one of them just checked out my podcast, that is still a win. People don't always have to promote you, and you know, people don't owe you anything. You just have to be nice. I was going to mention these influencers regardless of whether they're going to promote my podcast, because that's a part of the episode and I think that they're doing great work. These girls were so nice and genuine in their replies that most of them said that they'd love to support the podcast and post it anyway, which is amazing. So I did my usual social stalking and I've collated a bunch of tips that I've learnt from their profiles, because obviously they're doing something right. Let's start this sisterhood train with my Melbourne girls. At Anisha Alice is a lifestyle, fashion and wellness blogger. My favourite post of hers is when she has a sketched outline of herself over a photo, and she frequently asks questions in her post, which is a great way to boost engagement. Next is at Renee Cara, who is a beauty and lifestyle blogger. She has some bomb-ass eye looks. Seriously. They're like glam, but effortless. And she tags all of her outfits and makeup brands, which is the way to get noticed and sponsorships. And I also hear she's starting a YouTube channel soon as well. Time for a brand now, at Elegance of She. Jeanette, who runs it, is a genuine and relatable YouTube and blogger. Creating a business that is a brand and not your name has a couple of benefits, like separating your private life. Some of the pressure to vlog every second of your life can be alleviated, as you have the option of bringing in team members as you grow. Think of it sort of like BuzzFeed. Because your name isn't in the title, people don't always expect you in every post, they just expect like on-brand content. Lastly, out of the Melbourne girls is at Beauty by Kara Lee, a beauty, fashion and lifestyle blogger. Her highlighter is so on point. If you saw her on the street, you'd think she was like a freshly polished statue. I love that she changes it up with different wigs and makeup looks, and I don't know how one person can look stunning in every versatile look. But changing it up and trying different things is the way to keep your audience engaged. Next is Brizzy Girl at Bella High, who is a travel blogger. Her pictures seriously belong in an exhibition. They're very beautiful. She has her brand down pat, the like typical Aussie girl, and having a personality and knowing how to execute it online makes it easier for brands to identify who they need for their campaign. Someone more in my industry is Mackenzie at Loving Blog, who is a social plus digital media manager, but also a personal trainer in training. Every post is a different theme, whether it's food, fashion, or friends, and you'll find something to relate to. And not surprisingly, her captions are on point. So I always suggest getting a second opinion for captions of your bigger posts, because fresh perspective is your friend. Sydney Girl is at Isabella Linden, who is a content creator who I swear to God has a personal photographer following around all the time, because every photo is so beautifully composed. They're dynamic, matched with a smile that every dentist would probably hang in their waiting room. She strategically uses hashtags like collab, discover under 50k, and Brisbane blogger, which seem like niches, but that's how I discovered her. So relevant hashtags are proven to work and bring you opportunities. Time for Florida Girl at Ray Brand. There are some serious outfit and travel inspo on this girl's profile. Her YouTube vlogs are casual, yet glam, and she also does giveaways, which is a secret, in my opinion, to bringing in new followers. Now jumping over to the UK at Emily Jane Davies UK, who is a nail technician. Her bangs are so on point, it's ridiculous. She's always getting out to events and putting herself out there, which I really admire, because you're putting yourself out there physically rather than just digitally. Although networking can bring up some anxieties, it's an important part of being an influencer. And lastly, yes, I know there's been a few, but I'm switching it up a bit with a page. Yeah, the Girls, the opposite of Nah the Boys, is a meme page specifically aimed at females. It embodies a chaotic yet wholesome sisterhood persona, with the admins being such nice and welcoming people. They definitely have relatable memes to send in that group chat, so get on it. So those are the lovely ladies who responded to my request to collab. I'll be tagging their Instagrams on our Instagram, Don't At Me Podcast, so you can give them a follow. I know some will have replied to my email after I've recorded this, so there'll definitely be new influencers I recommend and question and feature in the next episode. But what about my experiment? Does influencer marketing work? Well, let's look at some stats right now. I'm stoked to announce that we have 70 plays, an estimated audience size of 68, and 12 Spotify followers. On Instagram, we have 0 followers because I haven't put it out yet, but it will be live by the time this episode is out. And on Facebook, we have 67 likes. So stay tuned to see if those numbers change and I turn into an influencer in next week's episode. Question time! This week's question is by one of my lovely friends, Natalie. I even made her verbalize it in an audio message.
Hi Michaela, I love your show. I'm wondering what you think about Instagram removing their likes and if you think that it's possible for an Instagram influencer to still be successful with likes removed.
Well, they're back on selected profiles, but they disappeared for certain areas of the world like Australia as Instagram thought they'd do a trial for lols basically. And I think the intent was golden, but the execution was horrible. The mental health message behind it is very pure, but it is a business, so I believe it was a poorly applied band-aid to shut up the people saying that it's a popularity competition and becoming an addiction to compare yourself through social media. Plus, they never describe the effects on influencers who use Instagram as a full-time job. Taking away likes is a disincentive for sponsors to reach out as it hides a metric of engagement. They're not going to count every single like. It just means that they will have to reach out to influencers for an engagement report, which is more work and adds another barrier for collaboration. So until Instagram fully, I think, go through the pros and cons and explain to their audience why they're doing this, what is the actual impact of it, and not just like, oh, it's better for everyone because of mental health. No, I mean, it could be, but you've got to properly explain it, not just put out a tweet and be like, lol, they're gone. So I think I'll worry about this more when Instagram tries to permanently yank them away from us again. And that is the end of the second episode. Now that we're on Apple Podcasts, I'd love it if you could go and populate that page with reviews. First review gets a shout out and my internal love. Give us a like on Facebook and Instagram as Don't At Me Podcast. And thank you for listening, whether it's via podcast or via Swim Radio at Swinburne University in Australia. Next week, I'm dissecting how to become an influencer on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Tumblr. I'm bringing out my old uni assignments to address the psychological impact of being an influencer, and I'll be asking some influencers some questions, so be sure to tune in then. It's titillating stuff. Yes, I just said titillating. Don't at me, guys.